Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's January the 21st. I hope you're all keeping well and had a great weekend. We have a great show ahead of you this morning. We are going to be talking more about food cravings, about how we can deal with them. I'm sure many of you out there, perhaps it's your New Year's resolution, but you're perhaps struggling with food cravings, perhaps struggling to break the habit. Going to chat about food cravings and obviously how we can beat those. We're also going to talk about mindful eating as well and what mindful eating is and how it might be able to help you if you are indeed trying to perhaps lose some weight or to get healthier. We have a special guest on this morning that we are going to be talking in about 20 minutes to Victoria Sheridan. Good morning, Victoria. How are you?
Good morning, Neil. I'm wonderful. Thank you.
it's great to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to be talking more with Victoria about her journey since she was last on the show back in April last year. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered, to help you and educate you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your pharmacist first. Your doctor does not always need to be your first point of contact. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics on the and the products that we discuss. The Health Matters Radio Show is based on my knowledge, my research, my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, it's the Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Go to the media page and you can listen to all previous shows there as well. And you can listen to the show's podcast if you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show. So on last week's show, you'll probably recall that we discussed food cravings and how we tend to crave foods that are high in sugar. They're high in salt, they're high in fat. You don't tend to crave broccoli or cabbage or carrots. Or some people do, but it's quite rare. But we tend to crave these foods that really aren't good for us. They tend to be high in sugar and they tend to be processed as well. And we tend to crave carbohydrates, but when we crave carbohydrates, we don't crave carbohydrates on their own. We tend to crave carbohydrates that also have fat in them as well. So it's that really a toxic combination of sugar and fat that makes the food so moorish, but also can end up making us overeat and certainly eat the wrong things. So if you want to look more into the why we get food cravings, then listen to last week's show, which was the 14th of January. In terms of how we can reduce food cravings, and this actually gets more interesting because there's a lot of psychological issues connected to food cravings, and one of them is stress. So stress and emotional eating can influence our habits, and they can influence our food habits as well, and they can often lead us to eat comfort foods. And this can be at times of stress. It can be actually at times of emotional distress as well. So there may be something going on in your life, perhaps, and you may be eating to subconsciously deal with those things that are happening in your life. And obviously that then leads on to weight gain, which can then lead on to self-confidence issues, which can then cause more stress. And obviously then the cycle continues. So stress management. And actually, interestingly, we are going to talk with Victoria today about stress and anxiety management. But stress management is actually a real key area in controlling food cravings. Another is drinking plenty of water. Now, I speak to plenty of clients, and I would say probably 95% of them, at their first meeting, they are chronically dehydrated. And actually, hunger and thirst do produce very similar sensations in our mind, but it can cause us to get confused with these sensations. And I always say to people, if you feel hungry, then rather than reaching for the food that you think you need, have a glass of water. And after about 15, 20 minutes, if those sensations haven't gone away, you are probably hungry. But often, I would say in at least half the cases, if you actually drink a glass of water, then those sensations of hunger will subside. So hydration is really important. Apart from all the other benefits of drinking water, you know, it's good for detoxification, it's good for joints, it's good for your brain, it's good for loads of systems in the body. But if you get those cravings for whatever food, then grab a glass of water and see how it goes. Another one is getting enough sleep. Now, there's plenty of studies about lack of sleep and the damage it does to the body. It has a massive impact. If you are sleep deprived, it really alters your body's hormonal balance. And that imbalance can contribute to overeating, and it can contribute to weight gain as well. So if you've got poor sleep hygiene, there's apps that you can get, you can download. A good thing to do is perhaps not watch TV, not have your phone on in bed, not be on your tablet before you go to sleep, so you cut down on that blue light, or maybe include a blue light filter in your devices. But if you really need some help with your sleep hygiene, perhaps you need to see a specialist. And I'm not a specialist in sleep, but you know, sleep is important. If you've got broken sleep, or you're only getting a few hours a night, then maybe you need to look at that, because that can contribute to overeating and to weight gain. If you don't get enough protein in your diet, that can lead to cravings as well. So you should have in your diet lots of lean sources of protein. And in fact, there was a study in a journal called Obesity that found that overweight men, they were able to reduce their cravings by up to 60% by getting more protein in their daily diet. And actually, that same study found that a high protein diet helped reduce the desire for nighttime snacks by 50% too. So more protein, but make sure the protein that you get is good quality sources. So lean poultry is often good because it's low in saturated fat, and fish as well. Although you can get lots of good protein sources from plants, and chia seeds are good for protein as well. Changing your scenery is also quite good. So changing habits is really important, because if you have the same habits that lead to these food cravings, then until you break those habits, then you are going to carry on eating the food, because we associate an action with another action. So if you change the scenery, if you maybe stop at a park, if you're on your way home and you normally go via a fast food outlet, maybe stop at the park instead. That can help. So change of scenery. And, you know, replacing these habits can be actually very, very difficult, because they're often deeply ingrained. But the first step, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And if you take that first step and you stick with it, then you can be on your road to breaking these bad habits. And there's lots of apps that you can download. I won't mention any by name, but there's lots of goal tracker apps that can keep you on track to try to change these habits. So if it's a particular route home that you've got that leads you to stop off at a fast food outlet, for example, then take a different route at home, perhaps. If you're normally used to sitting on the sofa in the early evening, I know it's a bit cold at the moment and a bit dark, but when the summer comes, if you're used to sitting on the sofa watching TV, then maybe go out for a walk and make that a new healthier habit as well. Or pick up the phone and call a friend. Just do something that will distract you enough for that craving to subside. Another way to avoid cravings as well is to avoid hunger. Now, this seems like a really obvious one, but actually, when we make ourselves very, very hungry, we tend to make these cravings worse. And when the body is very hungry, it will tend to crave more calorie-dense foods. So this often includes sugary foods, fatty foods, fried foods, and processed foods as well. So I'm a great advocate of fasting, and there's a big difference between fasting and starvation. But if you do leave yourself hungry, unplanned hunger, I would suggest, then that can lead to overeating when you do eat. And perhaps for those people, it's better to have a regular pattern of meals planned throughout the day, which can obviously help reduce those cravings down. Portion size is quite an interesting one. because actually if you avoid certain foods, they can make the cravings even worse. So for example, if you've got a thing for chocolate, and I am a self-confessed ex-chocoholic, then if you deny yourself those foods, then that can lead to overeating. And also it can also make you feel miserable, which then leads to emotional issues, which then leads to some stress, which then can take you right the way back to craving that food again. So for people, for example, who do like chocolate, I tend to suggest, look, you know, stay away from the milk chocolate. It isn't particularly good for you, in my opinion, but maybe go for the 70, the 80% chocolate. So you still get the chocolate hit, but you can't really eat it in large amounts. And actually, if you put a bar of chocolate in the freezer, you'll go for it much slower because you tend to have to suck the chocolate rather than swallowing it quickly. So if you've got a thing for particular foods, maybe cutting them out altogether isn't the thing to do, but maybe to really control how much you have and when you have it can help as well. So how do we deal with these cravings? Well, we've covered some areas there, but replacing them is quite an important thing to look at. So yes, there are ways that we can change our mindset. We can change our environment. We can have good habits. We can have better sleep hygiene and those sorts of things. But we can replace the things that we crave with other things that are more healthy. So for example, if your thing is crisps, then you can replace crisps with nuts. So crisps tend to be high in saturated fat, not massively healthy for you. And nuts also high in fat. And walnuts, for example, cashew nuts, they're high in fat. But they're high in fats, good fats, healthy fats, and they're high in protein as well. Popcorn is a good replacement as well. Plain popcorn, corn for crisps, that's quite useful. And the caveat with nuts is obviously they are fairly high in fat, albeit healthy fats, and therefore they're quite high in calories. So if you are trying to lose weight, then watch the portion size. If you crave chocolate, well, cravings for chocolate are quite interesting because they can be a signal for the body for a need for magnesium. So if you have a craving for chocolate, then craving magnesium-rich foods could often help to control those sensations. And a really good magnesium-rich food is almonds. But again, if nothing but chocolate will do, then go for dark milk-free chocolate, at least 70% cocoa, and stick it in the freezer as well. And quite an interesting analogue for chocolate. I was talking to a friend last week who has issues with chocolate, and I was saying to her that if you eat bananas, you can actually fool the brain into having chocolate. I don't know the science behind it. I've read it in a few different research papers. But if you are reaching for that bar of milk chocolate, have a banana instead, and see if those cravings go away. If you've got a thing for sweets and pastries, then they can easily be replaced with things like whole fruits, peaches, cherries, and melons. If you like fizzy drinks, so, you know, whether they're sugary fizzy drinks or they're diet fizzy drinks, then replacing those with fizzy water, sparkling water, with a squeeze of lemon juice or orange juice or a bit of fruit juice. It will give that same sensation of having the fizzy drink, but without the calories, without the caffeine, often without the caffeine, without the sugar or without the artificial sweeteners. And cheese. Cheese, we crave cheese because it's quite fatty. And we have those cravings for sugary things, fatty things, and salty things. And actually, if you have cravings for cheese, then maybe going for a lower fat cheese could help. And also, some people like nutritional yeast on their food because it's got a savoury kind of cheesy flavour. And nutritional yeast is actually full of B vitamins, and it's got, you know, obviously less fat in it than cheese itself. So there's some ideas for you to think about. Like I say, go back on last week's show if you want to look a bit more into the mechanics of food cravings. But, you know, avoid the hunger, avoid stress, you know, see a specialist if you need help with stress, and meditation is really good. And I'm sure Victoria will go on to talk about meditation in her part in a few minutes. Stay properly hydrated, get enough sleep, get a good amount of protein in your diet, change your scenery, change your habits, try not to get hungry or make yourself overly hungry. And also, if you really do crave these things, then maybe don't cut them out altogether, but perhaps have them in smaller and controlled portions. So I hope you found that interesting. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Victoria, and we're going to see what she's been up to since April last year. Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 21st of January 2019. If you'd like to get in touch with the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can find the show's Facebook page if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on the show's iTunes podcast. Go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show. So before we go on to chat with Victoria, we have a few shout-outs. In fact, we have quite a few shout-outs. I'll do some now, and I'll do some after the next music break. So we have a quick shout-out for Stuart Weller. Good morning, Stuart. How are you? Good friend of mine and a fantastic magician. Does things like weddings and events and corporate events and lots of other things. He's very, very, very good at what he does. And his website is www.stuartweller.co.uk. Shout out for Trinia Stenson-Walker. Good morning, Trinia. Great to hear from you. And Trinia does glass engraving and bespoke giftware. So if you need bespoke giftware or things like glass engraving, then please contact Trinia. Her Facebook page is facebook.com/Trinia's Glass Engraving. And you can find her there. Vicky Essen, good morning, Vicky. Great to hear from you. Vicky does Avon, and she says Avon at the minute are recruiting. So if you'd like to earn up to 25% commission and shop on their online shop, please contact Vicky. And her website address is prp.uk.avon.com/Vicky Essen. That's VICKIESSOM. Quick shout out to Mervyn. Good morning, Mervyn. Mervyn Booth is from In the Digital, and they help people to get more out their websites, and they also do digital marketing as well. And Mervyn's website is www.inthedigital.co.uk. Shannon Bowie Wooler. Good morning, Shannon. Shannon said that the Romney Resource Centre would love a shout out for some of the fully funded courses that they are offering for local businesses. Quality training at no cost to local businesses covering emergency first aid, manual handling, health and safety at work, and health and safety for construction. If you'd like to get in touch, if you're interested, contact Shannon on 01797 367455. And the last one for this moment is Liz Ormond. Good morning, Liz. It's great to hear from you. I hope you're keeping well. Liz Ormond is from Insightful Minds, and Liz empowers men and women to kill their negative menopausal symptoms such as anxiety and depression, weight gain, chronic pain, naturally, so they can have a happier, healthier life with clarity and direction. So it's great to hear from you, Liz. I have a few more shout outs, and I will do them after the next music break. So on to our guest interview of the morning. Now, Victoria came on my show, I think it was back in April last year. So if you'd like to learn more about what Victoria does in detail, then please go back onto the media page of my website. I think it was mid-April in 2018. Have a listen to Victoria's interview there. But it's great to have you back on the show this morning, Victoria.
Hi, Neil. I'm enjoying it so far. It's really interesting.
Brilliant. Fantastic. And what we'll do is we'll do a quick recap, because you've come on the show this morning to talk about stress, anxiety, and how we can deal with those issues. But perhaps you'd like to give the listeners just a quick recap of what you do and what your business offers.
Okay, well, The Secret Calm is the name of my company, and I help people to manage and relieve their stress quickly as possible. And the effects of stress is becoming older, looking older, feeling older, deteriorating your health and well-being, causing other deterioration of general life problems. Mm-hmm. And so they feel anxious about a lot of things. So I help them by giving them very, very discreet, subtle techniques that they can use straight away that will actually have a very quick result in relieving stress there and then. And as I've gone on with my work, as you say, I've been a year now since I was last on here. I've been working more precisely with these techniques. I find they're very, very effective, and quite happy to share some of them with you today.
Fantastic. And you work with, you do one-to-one sessions?
Most of the time I will do one-to-one sessions in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lovely sanctuary room at Red Libbets Golf and Country Club at Ash.
Okay.
But I also work a lot virtually. So I work with people around the world globally. And obviously that plays havoc with my sleep.
Yeah, sleep. Yeah, sleep hygiene, very important, very important. Yeah. And just to recap on some of the things that we covered in my previous part a few moments ago, is there anything you'd like to add to any of those points that I raised about food cravings?
Well, yes, because obviously sleep and problems with sleep come under the management of stress. And I often tell people to have a banana before they go to sleep. And
okay.
There's a lot of resistance to that, but it does have the effect of a similar effect to chocolate.
Mm.
And the potassium and everything helps with stressy legs. A lot of people have problems with their legs aching and itching and needing to have one foot hanging out of the bed. But eating a banana before you go to sleep, just a small one, will help, or half of one.
Yeah.
And, you were talking about a lot of things that I talk to people about to do with water and eating healthily, stopping at a park. I mean, I purposefully will park up and in a park rather than just continue my journey just for 2 minutes just to unwind. And avoid the A2, avoid the A20. Go the slower routes where there's trees.
Avoid all Kent motorways at the moment. It seems to be full of roadworks.
Well, they're very stressful situations, aren't they? You have to watch everything. And a park, when you were talking about a park, I think people think they have to go there and take action, but you can just park in a park and relax and breathe and just then continue your journey. So, yeah, it's really interesting what you were saying. Definitely.
And actually, on the just to briefly cover it while I think of it, another good fruit to help people sleep is kiwi, funnily enough.
Kiwi is very good.
Yeah, yes. Kiwi is really good at helping the body to produce the sleep hormones.
That's right. Yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
Yes. Okay, so let's go on to where you are now. Let's talk more about the reason you came on the show this morning. So let's talk about stress and anxiety. So let's start with anxiety. So what is anxiety?
Well, anxiety is the opposite to depression. Depression tends to is when you dwell on the past and you get stuck in the past and you're telling yourself the same story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it causes inaction, whereas anxiety is the polarity of that, in a sense. It's worry about what if, what might happen, what could happen. And people with panic attacks or serious anxiety where there's nausea are afraid that they're going to be sick in public or have a panic attack in public. So it's a self-perpetuating problem, but it's fear of the future. So the person is always looking at the future as a scary place. And anxiety as a response to stress means that you're in a stressful state often because of the stories that you're projecting into your mind. You're anticipating things that which haven't happened yet.
So these things can be, potentially can be real things that might happen, or they can actually be imaginary.
Well, the thing is, it might happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
And so often in life, things don't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I do work with youngsters and teenagers worrying about their schoolwork and their exams. But, you know, until you're there in the moment, it hasn't happened. And you spend a lot of time, energy and making your body react in a stressful situation that actually isn't real there and then.
Yeah.
So you spend a lot of time projecting yourself into the future, which hasn't happened yet.
I read a really good book. I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yep. Yeah.
And Wayne Dyer wrote a book, and sadly he's departed now. He died a few years ago. But Wayne Dyer wrote a book called The Gifts from IKIS, EYKIS. The Gifts from IKIS is one of my top five books of all time that I can read over and over again. And in that book, it talks about anxiety attacks. I don't know if you've read the book, Victoria.
I've looked at it. I mean,
fantastic.
There's so much of Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, he's so inspiring.
I do, yeah. It's a sad loss.
Yes. So, Gifts from IKIS. So it kind of just makes anxiety, it kind of makes it, helps us to rationalise with it. I found it was quite an interesting piece.
I think the thing with anxiety causing stress is that it's a common mechanism in the brain. The brain is designed to scan and to assess the situation before you get there. It's assessing for dangers. It's keeping you safe.
Yeah.
But what happens with anxiety is it goes into overdrive. And then it starts releasing hormones and chemicals. So your brain doesn't know what's real or not. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, my God, I've got to take a driving test, or, oh, dear, I've got to have this confrontation with someone, or I'm definitely going to get made redundant, your brain believes you, even though you're just sitting there imagining the conversation and the worst. And so your brain will then react in a stress response and start releasing different hormones and chemicals, which will then cause you to want to react. And if you can't react because it's in your imagination, and you're sitting there thinking about it, then it starts to internalize in your body and causes ill health.
Yeah.
So if you have a stress response that makes you want to run or fly,
yeah,
or just get away, then and you don't because you can't,
mm-hmm,
then your body will take the brunt of that.
Wow.
So it's quite damaging on a cellular level, stress.
So from your experience, what are the most common causes of the stress that we face on a day-to-day basis?
Well, most people will be worrying about their health and their well-being, mm-hmm, their family and relationships and their career and their businesses. And, of course, finance and debt is a big one. So the conversation that you have in your head will decide whether your brain decides to give you a nice lot of dopamine and make you relax,
yeah, mm-hmm,
or whether it's going to say, oh, dear, oh, no, let's get
a nice bit of cortisol
rising. Yeah, let's get the adrenaline up. And that, again, like you were saying, it makes you want to pace. And if you're pacing and you don't know why you're pacing, you'll pace towards the kitchen and look for something in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain is focused on escape, because it doesn't want to fight in case you get injured, but it will try to escape.
Yeah, because we talk about the fight or flight, don't we? But there is that kind of bit in the middle, isn't there, that we don't talk about that much?
Well, there's five, actually. There's fight, okay, or flight, there's freeze, and there's faint and faint. But even on the freeze phase, you're just going to be stuck there not wanting to move. You can't make a decision.
Yeah.
And the reason you can't make a decision is your brain shuts down. So your brain is looking for one thing, an escape route.
Yeah.
If it's a fire or a confrontation, if it's not going to fight, it looks to escape. So you'll open the doors. You'll open doors into other rooms and you'll open the fridge.
Wow.
And you'll find food in there that will try and give you comfort. But the other thing is that you'll be so tunnel vision that you can't find a solution. So the only way you can find a solution is to relax. But because you're tense, you can't relax. But I have ways of tricking your brain into sending you some dopamine, some serotonin, to lowering your cortisol and giving you some nice oxytocin. So okay, these are sound like nice high drugs, don't they? But they're
natural.
they're what your body
your
makes
body's
all
own
the time.
Hormones, yeah.
And if your brain believes what you're telling it, it'll believe anything you tell it. So if you tell it you're going to sleep, or you're telling it you're going to chill out,
mm-hmm,
your brain says, okay, have some dopamine, have some serotonin. If okay, you reinforce that with some chocolate, that's great as well. But obviously we don't want to be unhealthy.
Dark chocolate.
Very dark chocolate. It's bitter.
That's been, yes, in the freezer.
But there are things you can do to trick, okay, your brain.
So if there's listeners out there that are stressed out, and it does seem to be the sign of our times at the moment, that stress is chronic, which in turn can lead to some other serious health issues. So if people are out there listening and they've got stress because of health or family or relationships, or maybe about their business or their job or perhaps financial issues, let's talk more about these steps, these techniques that you've got, Victoria, that can maybe help people to take a few moments just to actually relieve these feelings of stress and anxiety.
Okay, well, if we take away and remove the psychological reasons for being stressed and the issues, if, mm-hmm, we just look at the state the body's in, so your body may be feeling tense and having all the respiratory problems, the sweats or the tensions, etc.
Yeah.
But what's happening is your body is shutting down to enable you to run or fight, and it's going to lower your heart rate, etc. So what we need to do is make sure that the body's functioning properly. What you can do, for example, is breathe. Mm-hmm. When you first go into a stress state, you stop breathing. You go, and you, yeah, hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to breathe. And that sounds so basic. And I'm sure a lot of people have done breathing exercises and looked at breathing in lots of different ways. But by holding your tummy and breathing deeply on the lower diaphragm for a count of four, so it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, and then holding your breath, for 1, 2, 3, 4, and then releasing your breath, 1, 2, 3, 4. In that holding of your breath, the oxygen in your blood is heightened. It goes into your blood much more, stays there, and is able then to go to the major organs.
Mm.
So immediately from your lungs, it'll go to your heart, and it'll go to your brain, it'll go to the other organs. And this is why when you relax and breathe deeply, you actually become more alert. And as I said, when you're in stress state, you're focused on escaping. You're not finding solutions. So as soon as you start to breathe clearer and deeper, you then find that you've enabled to find solutions to the cause of stress or answers to the problems. So breathing is very, very important. Another thing you can do is to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Trick your body into feeling safe. Okay, you've got all these issues. They may or may not be going to happen, but your response is that they're happening now. So you can trick your brain into not releasing the chemicals. It can handle the cortisol, lower the cortisol and the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put your thumb in the palm of your hand,
okay,
and just hold your hand and squeeze gently, you're giving yourself a feeling of belonging, of comfort. It's not just a sociological thing. We do need those things. But what it does, and the neurotransmitters in your brain will say, oh, you're safe. You're happy. So let's have some more. So your brain then releases more dopamine, more endorphins, mm-hmm. and more serotonin simply because you're holding your hand and you're telling your brain that you're comforted, that you belong to someone. That's why we love to hold hands when we're in love, or why we hold babies, why everybody wants a cuddle. It's because it actually releases these the neurotransmitters will then release these hormones that make us feel good. And you can do that yourself. You don't need someone else to do it. Obviously, you can stroke a dog or a cat and hold someone else's hand. And the other thing that you can do is that when you're in a state of shock or state of stress is your face drops and you look quite serious. So the other thing to do is to literally smile and the world smiles with you. Okay. However, on a scientific level, what happens is, again, when you raise the jawline and you raise your cheeks up with your crying, laughing or shouting or whatever, when you do that, your brain says, okay, you're shouting and you're angry. We don't want you to get hit. So we're going to make you happy. We're going to calm you down. And if you smile, the brain says, great, let's have some more of this. So it will, again, the neurotransmitters are alerted and the brain says, oh, you're smiling. So force it, force a grimace, force a smile, look at yourself, laugh at yourself. And before you know, within probably about 60 seconds, 90 seconds, you'll be getting dopamine, serotonin, and some more endorphins. Your cortisol levels will drop and your adrenaline levels will drop. So if you do those three things, if you breathe deeply, if you hold your own hand, and if you smile, you might feel silly, but it will actually trick your brain into believing that you are like a baby going to sleep, like a baby being held, and like a baby breathing deeply because you are sleeping. And it's all of that together. So, and the first thing a baby does is it smiles at you and laughs. And so to be that joyous, you just need to trick your brain. It will have an immediate effect. Now it works with clients straight away, and that's my mission, really. I just try and spread that. Wow. Obviously, it's difficult to talk about it on the show. It's very,
but
very simple
what's,
science.
What's really interesting is the fact that you can, anyone can do these anywhere.
Exactly.
And in those moments of stress and anxiety, they're very good techniques to put into practice. But trying to make them habit, I think, is key as well. You can use them as tools in the toolbox for those moments where you really do need them. But actually, if you practice these things on a daily basis and they become part of your routine, I think that's where they become really, really powerful.
That's right. And it's also recognizing when your stress triggers are. So if you're going, if you're a teacher and you're going back to school and the first term in September, that's the most nauseous-making, panic-stricken time for any teacher. So it's recognizing the patterns in your work or your life and then putting them into place.
Yeah.
And it's very important because the sense of belonging and connectedness is something we don't do. And if there's no one to hold your hand, hold your own hand.
Yeah.
Literally.
I was actually doing it while you were talking. You couldn't see it behind the desk.
Well, if you do push actually, a little bit, yeah. put a little bit of pressure there.
Yeah.
The point is that when you're pushing your thumb into your hand, you relax your fingers over, no one can see that you are stressed.
Mm.
If you're smiling, no one can see that you're actually combating stress.
Yeah.
And the same with your breathing. So these are very subtle, and especially if you're giving presentations or going on television or going to court or sitting waiting for some kind of medical procedure, no one needs to know, you know, and if that's important for your job or your career, then that's another reason to do them.
Okay. So what about psychological methods? So affirmations and visualizations?
Yeah, well, definitely. A meditation is one of the most heartwarming, centering, relaxing things to do, and people mm-hmm. have a lot of misconceptions about what meditation is. So I yeah. find out who you are, what your religious and philosophical beliefs are, and we find a way of introducing some form of mind relaxation that suits your belief system. And so it doesn't have to be sitting with a Buddhist mantra and yeah. things like that. It needs to be something you can do in a hospital corridor if you're or dentist's
yeah.
chair.
Yeah, I mean, meditation is something that is, I think for most people is misunderstood. They have these preconceptions about what it's like sitting with your arms and legs crossed, you know, and humming, you know, yum, yeah. And it's so not about that, is it?
It isn't. It's about giving the body a chance to, but it's like sleeping during the day. You just take 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, I've been meditating since I was about 14, so I can literally go into quite a deep state quite quickly, and it takes practice.
Mm.
And some people will come to me and they can't let go of the monkey brain and the thoughts, and that's fine.
Mm.
You know, one of the things, first things I teach is that if you're going to meditate, you're using your mind just to listen.
Yeah.
Listen to what's around you, observe and close your eyes, but listen. And just doing that will allow the thoughts to come through. Don't resist, just go with it, and you will be replenished. It's like having a mini sleep. It's as good as a power nap.
Yeah.
But of course you do go into more of a state of bliss because your breathing changes and you get some different chemicals. I never needed to take drugs. I just meditate.
So what are the consequences, or some of the consequences, of not managing stress? I mean, I can talk about it from my perspective. Things like type 2 diabetes has been linked to lack of stress management. But what's your thoughts on some of the more serious issues that can happen if you don't manage stress on a daily basis?
It's an awful thing, because stress creeps up on you, and most people don't realise they're becoming stressed.
Mm.
But then they suddenly wake up and realise they haven't slept, and that they're tetchy, that they're relationships falling apart, but their body is craving, like you say. They may be pacing, or they may be fatigued and tired. On a cellular level, your body is not receiving the good nourishment it should have. It's not being exercised or balanced, and not restoring itself through sleep. So that's why I call myself a rejuvenation coach, because I can help people with their immediate stress, but the long-term stress, chronic stress that leads to maximum worsening of illnesses, leads to arthritis, leads to disease, degeneration of organs, etc., especially the liver and the kidneys and things like that. So it's very, very serious. It's not just a mental issue. It's a physiological issue. And so for them, I work longer. I've got a three-month program that I work with people on. And we look and explore lots of different kinds of mindset as well in approaching stress, as well as finding a way of opening your mind so that you can find the solution. And taking, well, one of the first things I do, actually, you probably like this, Neil, is I get people to design a routine for themselves. And it might even be a yawn as soon as they wake up to stretch their face muscles.
Yeah.
You know, it may be have a drink of water straight away when you
drinking water is good. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a sip of water. So a tiny little routine that suits you just to get your body moving.
Yeah.
But yes, I think a lot of the damage and the illness that we have is stress originated,
and all that inflammation that we suffer, which causes other health issues as well.
Hair loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, clearly you know your topic, and clearly you're an expert in stress and anxiety management, Victoria. So if there's anyone out there that perhaps is suffering with stress, and I would say that it's going to be the majority and not the minority, but if you're out there and you're suffering with stress and anxiety, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, I've got a website. It's thesecretcalm.com. And you can email me at victoria@thesecretcalm.com. Okay. I tend not to use the phone too much, though. I find call centres are messy and yeah. I don't get the calls in time. And the mobile phone is just busy doing other stuff. So email yeah. is best
yeah.
or go onto the website, thesecretcalm.com.
Yeah.
And you'll find me on YouTube. There's Excellent. Lots of things on YouTube as well.
Super. Thank you. And I'll put Victoria's contact details up on the show's Facebook page as well in the next day or so. So if you'd like to contact Victoria, you can do so either through www.thesecretcalm.com or via the show's Facebook page. But thank you for coming on the show, Victoria.
Thank you, Neil.
It's been really interesting to find out more about stress management. Mm-hmm. So the next song is one that you've chosen. Yeah. So perhaps you'd like to just give a quick reason why you picked this particular song.
Okay. One of the things you need to do is is take your mind off what's worrying you and mm-hmm. appreciate and be grateful for what's around you and to listen. So this song is called Three Little Birds.
Fantastic. Thank you, Victoria. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 21st of January 2019. Some quick shout outs, as I said earlier, I've got quite a few. But we have Fiona Schultz. Her Facebook page is facebook.com/microblading and more by Fiona. And she does eyebrow pencils and mascara and microblading and all those sorts of things. So you can find Fiona's page on Facebook. Catherine Overton is giving us a quick reminder that the tax deadline for self-assessment is only 10 days away, and she works for a company called Booker Wyatt Accounting Limited, and her website is www.bookerwyatt.com. www.cyclingcoach.co.uk. So if you need any tax advice, then you can get in contact with them. Samantha Crane. Hi, Samantha. You are a Reiki practitioner based in Ashford, Kent. You run a business called Eureka Reiki. And she has said that she is promoting a refer a friend offer. And if you'd like to get in contact with Sam, her website address is www.eurekareiki.co.uk. Good friend of mine, John Nicholson, and one of his colleagues, Zuri, has sent me a quick message. John runs a company called the Community Driving School, and he helps. He's a community interest company, and he helps people on low wages to get driving lessons and to get their license and to get back into work. He runs a really interesting company, fantastic, quite unique. And John's business is www.thecforcharliedfordeltasforsierra.org.uk. And we have a quick shout out from Rosie. Rosie came on my show last year, Rosie Barreto. She's running some Vitality Fitness classes in Downswood. And the website address for that is vitalityhub.co.uk. And they are running throughout January. And if you'd like to get more details, she's doing things like dancing and weights and stretching. You can get in contact with Rosie. And just two more, Leah Gamble. Leah Gamble, hypnotherapy. Hi, Leah. It's really good to hear from you. And her website address is www.leahgamble.com. And she offers hypnotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and virtual gastric bands. She can also help you to stop smoking and deal with stress and anxiety as well. Lavinia Saunders. Hi, Lavinia. She runs a thing called the Balance Procedure, which helps people to relax and feel less stressed and anxious. And she's doing a 2-day accredited training course in Glastonbury on the 8th and 9th of June 2019. And she has an early bird offer until the end of January. So if you'd like to get in touch with her, I'll give you her details via my show's Facebook page. And Jan Brown, she does Reiki as well. And she is doing an event in Wadhurst on the 8th and 9th of February. And her email address is reikiscott, reikiscott@gmail.com, if you'd like to get in contact with Jam. There's a lot of shout outs this morning. I hope that was all okay. And I did my best to get through them all and to give you all a mention. If you'd like a shout out on next week's show, just contact me via the show's Facebook page or the Twitter feed. Now, as you'll appreciate, we were really in mid-flow with Victoria's interview, and I didn't want to cut her short because I found the actual subject really relevant, really interesting, and quite fascinating as well. But I was going to talk to you more about mindful eating, but what I'll do is I'll cover this more on next week's show. But I will just tempt you with some interesting information about mindful eating. Now, some of you have probably never heard of it, but mindful eating is a technique that can help you to gain control over your eating habits. So mindful eating has been shown to help in weight loss. It can reduce binge eating and obviously can then help you feel better. So what I'm going to cover very, very briefly and in more detail on next week's show is what it is, how it works, and what you need to do to get started. So let's start with what is mindful eating. So mindful eating is based on mindfulness, and mindfulness is a Buddhist concept. And we were talking about, with Victoria, we were talking about meditation, obviously stress management, and it kind of all links in with mindfulness. And so mindfulness itself is a form of meditation that helps you recognize and cope with your emotions and physical sensations. So this has been helped to treat many conditions, including, and I'm looking at it from a nutritional point of view, but it helps with things like eating disorders, and it can help with, as we've discussed with Victoria, things like depression, anxiety, and also some food-related behaviours as well. And mindful eating is about using mindfulness to reach a state of full attention to your experiences, your cravings, and your physical cues relating to when you eat. So fundamentally, mindful eating involves things like eating slowly and without distractions, listening to physical hunger cues and eating only when you're full, distinguishing between actual hunger and non-hunger triggers for eating, engaging your senses by noticing colours, smells, sounds, textures and tastes, learning to cope with guilt and anxiety about food, eating to maintain overall health and well-being, noticing the effects food has on your feelings and your figure, and also appreciating your food. Now, these things, these allow you to replace the automatic thoughts and reactions that we have to our food with much more conscious and healthier responses. Because I'm sure you agree, most of us eat almost without thinking about it. We have a meal, we don't think about it, we don't savour the taste, we don't savour the flavour, we don't take our time to enjoy our food. And that can cause real big problems. So mindful eating is really important. It is a form of meditation. It relies on mindfulness and is about developing an awareness of your experiences, your physical cues, and also your feelings about food that you're eating. But we are out of time for this week's show. I'm going to go into more detail on it in next week's show on the 28th of January. It's a really fascinating subject, and I'm sure you'll all enjoy hearing more about it. So going to wrap the show up for this week. Can't believe how quickly an hour goes. I'd like to thank Victoria again for coming on the show. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you, Neil.
And just to reiterate, Victoria's website address is www.thesecretcalm.com. If you'd like to come on the show, as Victoria has done today, and talk about what you do and how you can help people, then please make contact with me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Get in touch with me if you want to personally via the contact page. And if you just want to contact the show, please do so through the show's Twitter and Facebook feeds. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. On next week's show, on the 28th of January, I have a special guest, Sue Lee from Sue Lee Hypnotherapy. So listen in then and find out more about what Sue does. But until then, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I hope you found the information really useful. And again, thank you, Victoria, for coming on the show. And we're going to wrap up now. So until next week, have a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy. And I will catch you the same time, 11 o'clock, next Monday morning. Heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. Take you out.